is with us in a new, in a powerful way. And those could just be the words that I'm saying to you this morning, because I'm trying to hype you up and get you excited. And if I'm doing that, then Lord, forgive me. But I sense His presence in me. And I've sensed He's been working with me for a while now. In my quiet times, I go. And God just moves. And the Word is opening up. And He's revealing His secrets. You know, the Word is full of God's secrets. But He tells His secrets to those He loves. And there's mysteries in the Word. And He's revealing them. And I believe as we head towards Pentecost, as we head into these last 2 weeks, and 2 weeks' time on Sunday, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. We're going to have special services. The Lord is going to be with us. But I believe He's taking us into a time of preparation so that we can be ready for Him to pour out His Spirit in a new and a powerful way. And who wants that? Amen. We all want it. We sensed, since Sharon and I have taken over, we felt the Lord's anointing. We've seen God busy moving in the church. There's a fresh wave of His Spirit moving. Obviously, we're going to do things different as well. Just different ways of doing things. Not where that one way is better than another, because it's not. But we've just sensed God moving, and then over the last while, I sense that we've lost a bit of momentum. And I believe God wants to rebuild that momentum. We're in end times. We're close to the end, and we need to be on fire. And He's going to use Pentecost this year to bring life into this church. But I now don't believe it's going to be limited here. Remember what I said about that prophecy. The Azusa Street Revival, if I'm not wrong, I spoke to Ivan in the week and he told me about it. It started in 1906. Carried on for almost 10 years. It kind of faded out in 1915. And then that prophecy came by the man who was the pastor in the church. I can't remember his name. Spencer, I think it was his surname. I stand corrected. But he prophesied about 100 years. And in 100 years, another like revival, I said it earlier, would come. But it wouldn't be limited to one place. So we're 100 years down. We can come with expectation. Who expects a revival? Amen. Who is praying with me for a Von Brander Street revival? I don't want to be selfish, but it's got to start somewhere. Amen. Let's pray for it. Let's ask God to move in our midst. Hallelujah. Last week's message, we were reminded that in Christ, there is no accusation and there's no condemnation for us. Who dare accuse you? That's what it says in Romans 8. Who dare accuse you? The one who dares accuse us is the one who's perfect. If you have no sin, you can throw the first stone. But we know that none of us are without sin. Only Christ was without sin. And He looked at that woman caught in adultery and He said to her, "Where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you." And then it writes of Him in Romans 8. In Christ who paid the price for your and my sins, He's got the right to accuse us. He's got the right to judge us. He says, "I do not accuse you. Who dare accuse you?" So that's wonderful. And that means we've got freedom from sin, from our own failings, from our own lack of ability to be holy and to live righteous lives by God's grace. It's only by His grace that we can be righteous. And we're only righteous because of the blood of Christ that covers us. And when God looks at us, He sees His Son. He doesn't see us. He doesn't see the filth of our sin. But we need to bring balance. We need to bring balance. We need to preach the whole Word of God. It's not just all about freedom. It's not just all about no accusations, no judging. Because there will come a day when judgment will come. And young and old, rich and poor, all will stand before the judgment throne of Christ. Amen? Some of us, by God's grace, will have our works judged and will receive a reward in heaven. Others will be judged and be cast into the pit, into the abyss where we don't want to be. And that's not where God planned for us to be. So to bring balance, we still need to make sure that we're living right before the Lord. And I want to, you know, Paul wrote about the fact that in Romans 8, no one dare accuse you. But he also wrote this in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27. "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Isn't that interesting? While he said, there is no condemnation, while he said, no one dare accuse you, he said, "I train myself and I discipline myself. Yet in case, whilst having taught you all and helped you all, I find myself to have fallen short. If Paul could have fallen short, then you and I can fall short. So whilst there's no accusation, doesn't mean we can live willy-nilly and as we please. We've got to live according to God's word. We've got to serve God. We've got to examine ourselves. And that's the title of this message today. Examine yourself. Are we living right before the Lord? And it's not the kind of message we preach too often, but we need to preach about sin. We need to preach about hell. We need to preach about the fact that there's consequence for sin. And therefore this morning, I want to encourage you, but I want to encourage you to examine yourself. Amen. Can I hear some amens? Julle gaan nie nou slaap nie, né? If he speaks about exciting stuff, we'll stay awake and we'll shout. But if he speaks about sin, I'm going to go to sleep. No, stay awake. Right. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've got a warning that we need to heed. Quite a long piece of scripture. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them. And all of them walked through the sea on dry ground, in the cloud and in the sea. All of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them. Did you hear that? Yet God was not pleased with most of them. I wonder if God would say the same of us. And their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with fasting, with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different to what from what others experience. I want to reword that. I want to say the temptations in your life are no different to what those temptations were that the Israelites in the wilderness endured. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Let's think about that. Let's think about these people wandering in the desert. God's chosen people. God's people, they ate of the same spiritual bread, drank of the same spiritual water, they drank from the same spiritual rock. Who was the rock? Christ Jesus. They walked through the sea on dry ground, the sea piled up on each side of them. They turned back and they saw the Egyptian army being washed away and drowned as the water closed over them. These were God's blessed people. They were hungry in the desert. They cried out to the Lord and He sent them manna. We ate of the manna this morning. We ate of the bread of life this morning. He sent them quail to eat. Gave them life. God's people. He gave them the Ten Commandments from the mountain. His presence was there in the flame of fire at night and the cloud during the day. They were God's special people. He separated them out. He brought them out of slavery, out of Egypt. And yet, it says that these things happened to them. How many of them died in the desert? 23,000 of them died on one day because of pagan revelry. These were God's people. They were like you and me. They were serving the Lord. They were His blessed people. He blessed them. He provided for them. He was good to them. And yet they kept turning away and He had to punish them for their sins. You and I, We love the Lord. We love His blessings. We love coming into His presence. We sense it now. We pray for one another. We receive healing. We receive provision. Brandon, is this still in place? I want to ask you. Brandon was facing being retrenched. We prayed. He prayed. And he was overlooked. It was like the angel came past and saw the cross on the door. Amen. Sorry, I stole your thunder. We pray and God moves for us. We pray and God provides for us. We pray and we are healed. I touched my arm because I'm battling with it. That's why I was wearing that silly thing. Okay. God moves in our lives. But sin comes in. And sin separates us from God. And then we come and we say, but there's no accusation. But there's sin in our lives. And God says, but you've put something in the way. I can't move in your life the way I want to move in your life. I can't bless you the way I want to bless you. And you're going to die in the wilderness. Be warned! Be warned! Their story, can you imagine? Those people paid a price. You know what it says? It happened to them. Go and read it. It happened to them so that we could be warned. They died so that we could be warned. Did they die in vain? Or are we going to heed the warning this morning? Let me read it to you again. In the end of verse 11 says this. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who? Who's us? It says, us who live at the end of the age. Who believes we're living at the end of the age? Those things were written to warn you and I. Isn't that amazing? God's word. As much as God's provision was physical for them, He provided water, He provided food. It was physical, it was spiritual provision. It says they enjoyed, they ate the same spiritual food and they drank from the same spiritual rock. The rock was Jesus Christ. We're drinking from that same rock today. Amen. And yet they died in the desert. They died in the desert. My question today, are we willing to heed this warning? Are we willing to hear the word of God and heed it today? And I don't want to preach judgment this morning, but I am going to preach God's word. And I'm going to preach it unadulterated. It's time we heard what God's word says. Are we willing to listen? We face the same temptations. You heard that scripture. We are tempted in every way, the way that they were. But God makes a way out. Are we going to bow down to the temptation? Or are we going to give in to the temptation? And church, I stand here as a sinner. I stand here as somebody who has failed. I've bowed down to temptation. I've probably done it in the last week. We all fall short of the glory of God. We need to live a life of repentance. We need to live a life of holiness. We need to live a life. And you know, I started praying it this week. I started saying, Lord, Paul said it. Woe is me. What hope, I spoke about it last week. What hope is there for me? A wretched man that I am, my hope is in Jesus Christ. We need to ask the Holy Spirit who is with us to give us strength to overcome temptation. Amen. We all face temptation. But we will not be tempted beyond that which we can endure. We need to start praying, Lord, help me to overcome temptation. Help me to bite my tongue when those words want to come out that shouldn't come out, and all they come out, and there I have fallen all over again. Amen. I'm giving that as an example, all right? But there's different ways. It could be that a man or a woman is looking lustfully at somebody else. How do I turn my eyes away? God grant me the grace to overcome temptation. Lord, when my thoughts start going in the wrong direction, grant me the mind of Christ. I prayed every single day. I pray for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ. Because how else? We can't. We can't in our own strength. Only by the grace of God. Only in the power of His Spirit. And only if we have His mind can we think right. Otherwise our thoughts will go the way of the world. It's easy to fall from grace. That's my second point this morning. It's easy to fall from grace. Even while we're in the midst of God's blessings, like those Israelites were in the desert, in the midst of it, while He was feeding them manna, the same time He was feeding them manna, they took of the gold that they had plundered from Egypt, that God gave into their hands, and they made an idol, a calf, and they worshipped it. With what God blessed them with. Have you been blessed, church? What are you doing with what God blessed you with? I want to tell you the parable of the prodigal son, but I want to put a new twist on it. The prodigal son was a son, like my son, like your children, like you as a son, would have grown up in your parents' home. His father loved him. His father was wealthy. He blessed his son. He had two sons. He blessed them both. The prodigal son had everything he needed. He had clothes, he had food, he had servants, he had status. He was blessed. He had a warm roof over his head, I'm quite sure, because his father was a good father. He provided for him. He was blessed, just like the children in the desert. They were blessed by their father. He provided for them. He was a good, good father. We're saying it this morning. It's a good, good father. It's who you are. And I'm blessed. It's who I am. Amen? This was the prodigal son. He had everything he needed. But he wanted more, church. He wanted more. And he went to his father. And because his father was a good father, he said, "Can I have my inheritance now?" His father said, probably said like this. He said, "You know, I've lived a long time. I'm making up my own story now. Okay, I'm making my own prayer. I've lived a long time. I'm wise in my years. I know what you're going to do with this. Son, don't do it. You're going to just waste this money. And then what are you going to have? You have nothing." Son said, "Dad, I want it, please. I know. I can handle it. Give it to me. I'll deal with it correctly. I know what to do with the money. I want it now." "Oh, come on, Dad. I know you love. If you love me, you'll do it." And his dad said, "Take it, my son." His dad knew. His dad knew. But you know, sometimes young and dumb. It's simple. Come on, that was funny, okay? You were supposed to laugh. Must I stand here and start telling jokes to get your attention? Right? So his dad gave it to him. I'm embellishing the story. And the son went off to a faraway land. He went off. It says it in the Bible. And he lived well. He had everything he needed. He had money. He had friends. He had girls. He had drink. He had eat. Food. He had accommodation. He was living it up. He had a fantastic time of it. With the blessing that his father gave him. He took his father's blessing and he enjoyed it every moment of the day. He had a wild time. He had such a ball with the Lord's blessing, his father's blessings that he'd given. Sorry, I'm slipping in my answer in there. But he had a wonderful time of it. But the day came when it was all gone. He was away from father. He was away from father's money because it was all spent. There was nothing left. All he had left was a pigsty. And his life had become an absolute chamos. It was a mess. All he had was nothing. Didn't have his father. Didn't have money. He had misery. He had hunger. He had the pigs. He had a stench. It stank. It was horrible. What's the moral of the story? When you're in the father's presence, when you're in the father's house, there's blessing. But when you take the blessings that the Father has given you and you go and squander them, the day will come when you're in the pig pen with the pigs and you've got nothing. Life is a mess. Amen. And then during the week, I was reading in the prophets. I'm blessed because the Lord is just encouraging me in the prophets. And I read another story. I read about Hosea, the prophet Hosea. God told prophet Hosea to go and marry an unfaithful woman. Imagine, Josh, if the Lord said, "Go and marry a prostitute." "Yeah, go and pick one. Pick me," she says. And you pick her and you go and marry her. Okay? She comes and she lives with you and everything goes well for a while. But after a while, that heroin that's in her system starts pulling her back and she needs some more. And you know, you keep on praying for her. You say, "No, come on. The Lord brought you out of that. Leave that stuff alone. And you have some children. Give us some nice grandchildren as we've been." No, I'm not praying for it yet. But, you know, and God's, and Josh's blessing is upon the prostitute lady. But the heroine starts calling. And the only place she knows to get it is back up on Leopard Street. Okay? So, one night she slips out. She goes back. She finds a pimp. He says, "I'll give it to you if you'll sleep with these men, yeah?" She says, "Well, do I really have to?" He says, "Yeah, if you really want to." Slaps her a couple of times, treats her badly. "Get out of my way. You know, you're wasting my time." So she says, "Okay, give it to me. She takes it. She's on the street. 6 months later, Josh goes back. She's nearly dead. But he loves his wife. Josh, I'm not prophesying over you, my boy. I'm just giving it as an example. 6 months later, he goes and finds her naked in one of these houses, no floor, dirty, full of all sorts of stuff. Okay? Picks her up and he carries her out. Takes her home, cleans her up, gets her out of the drugs, gets her living clean again. She's looking after her children again. All's going well. 3 weeks later, the heroine calls again. He wakes up one morning, she's gone. Back there. That was this prophet's wife. That's exactly how she behaved. God asked her to him to marry her. But he kept going back and bringing her back and loving her and cleaning her. That is God's love for his children. But listen to the scripture, Hosea 2 verse 8. She doesn't realize, this is Hosea writing, but it's actually God speaking to his people. She doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has. The grain, the new wine, the olive oil. Didn't we read about the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil this morning? Amen. God is speaking to you and I, church. It is God who will give us the grain. It is Him who will give us the new wine. It is Him who will give us the olive oil. So let's say the church explodes into a time of growth. And we start, and I get a fat head, and I'm the man of the moment. And we are the people of the moment, because the people are coming to our church. And God is busy moving. He's given us grain. He's given us life. He's given us new wine. Forgiven us new oil, fresh oil, anointing like we can't believe. We were actually watching some clips this morning about the Azusa Street. Flames of fire came over that place that the fire department was called. Can you imagine that? So it happens here. God says, she doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has. The grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold, riches. I gave her wealth. But she gave all my gifts to Baal. And as I read it, I realized, and we've seen it, people come in here, their lives are broken. There was a man in this church. He would stand in front here, he would cry, the tears would run down his face. We saw God heal his family. His family came and they served him together. They served God here, and God started blessing him, and money came in abundance. And the next thing, the money pulled him away. And he was chasing after the pleasures that money could give. And the more I watch it, the more I can see this man going straight back to the life God brought him out of. It's a tragedy. That's exactly what happened to this woman. She forgot that God was the one who gave the grain, the new wine, and the fresh oil. It was even God who gave the silver and the gold. She forgot about it. And she went and chased the things of the world. She went and bought an idol and started to worship Baal. What happened to her life? It became a chamos. It became like the prodigal son in the pigsty. And church, that is my challenge to you this morning. Is our life in the pigsty this morning? Have we taken the treasure God has put in us in these vessels of dishonor when He made us a vessel of honor? Have we taken the treasure and we started to waste it on the things of the world? And we're running off to worldly things and worldly pleasures. I always use the example of me on my bicycle. I love to cycle. It takes time. But when the bicycle becomes more important than church, when the bicycle becomes more important than my quiet time, then God has blessed me, He's given me health and strength, He's given me a bicycle, but when I'm riding it for my own pleasure, then I'm chasing after the world. And sooner or later I'm going to go around the corner and the wheel's going to slide out under me and I'm going to get road rash. And what is happening in your and my life today with the blessings that God has given us? And I'm preaching this word because I feel the Lord has given it to me. Why am I preaching it to you? Well, like me, for all have sinned and fallen short. And then we lose the new wine and the fresh oil, God's anointing. And we even suffer financially because God is our source. Is it possible that we have become like the prodigal son, that we've taken the blessings God has given us because He's a good, good father, and we've enjoyed the blessings and we've grown in stature and favor before Him and before man, and we're running in the opposite direction, serving our own purposes and doing what God doesn't want us to do? Church, and I'll be straight, and I'm not picking on you, but I am picking on you. When I need to chase half of the church or a third of the church on a Monday morning and say, where were you yesterday? And some people say, well, we just took the day off. It speaks to me of a degradation of our relationship with Jesus. And I'm being honest with you. Amen? I don't mind doing it. It's my role. It's my role to shepherd you, to draw you in, to say, come, the Lord is calling. Have a right life. Let me help you. Let me pray with you. Let me help you to be strong. It's my role to come and walk next to you and help you through the difficult times, to be a good shepherd. But it is not my role to have a relationship with Christ for you. It's your role to have a relationship with Christ. It's your role, church. Not my role. I will pray for you. And I do. It's your role to make sure that you don't backslide. It's your role to make sure you're not running after the things of the world with the blessings that God has given you. Not my role. And I want to challenge you this morning. Have you become like the prodigal son? Or do you love Jesus with all your heart and you're running with Him? Lord, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Help me be a soul on fire. Amen. That's what God is calling us into. Is this message challenging you this morning? Then you say, what's sin? Let's have a look at the sins that the Israelites committed in the desert. And I read again that scripture. 1 Corinthians, I read it earlier. These things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did. And I'm not going to read you the whole lot, but I've summarized the sins. Number one, they craved, and funny enough, there's six sins. 666 is the devil, amen? They craved evil things, the things of the world. They worshipped idols. Things became more important to God, like the example I gave of my bicycle, okay? And I trust God that I haven't made it an idol. I do love to cycle, okay? But there's got to be balance. The third one was feasting and drinking and pagan revelry. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, church. There are too many people that are compromising. The Pentecostal Holiness Church, I can tell you, that in everything we stand for is against alcohol. And yes, the Bible says that Christ created wine from the water. But I can tell you as well, that King Solomon's mother, writing to the wisest king, and said, it is not for the king to drink wine. We are kings and priests, church. I can find it in the Word of God where it says we should not take alcohol. And yes, wine is good for you. I don't care. Jesus is better. Well, I heard some amens there. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What are we putting in it? Are we putting drugs in it? Are we smoking ourselves into an early grave? What are we doing? Are we sleeping around and finding some diseases so that we can get sick? Dude, I'm preaching it as it is, aren't I? I mean, it's not in the message, it's what's coming. God is challenging us. Are we going to live a life of compromise? Are we going to go and look at those porn sites and lust over them? Are we going to be gluttons? I've got a problem with that. I eat too much. God's challenging us. This body's a temple. Are we going to go and worship at the foot of music, of sport, of money, of things, of our families? Or are we going to serve God with our whole heart? I'm challenging you this morning. The other thing that they did, I read fourth one was sexual immorality, sleeping around, testing Christ. After all, He doesn't accuse and condemn us. I can do as I please. That's part of the grace message that's being preached by the church. You don't even have to confess your sins. Just carry on. You're covered. Rubbish! The Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. It says, if you forgive others, then I will forgive you. We need to confess our sins. And the sixth one was grumbling and complaining. It's 20 to 11, church. If you're going to start grumbling and complaining, it's about 5 minutes before you can start saying, it's time for the service. I'm sorry, I'm going to speak until I'm done. Are there areas of sin that have crept into your life and my life? Is there compromise? Yes, there's no accusation. Yes, there's no condemnation. But judgment begins in the body of Christ. Let us judge ourselves. Let us sometimes find ourselves wanting so that we can come before God's throne of grace and cry before it and receive the grace that is there for us, the grace that this table reminded us about this morning. It's there for us, but let us not take it for granted. Let us live holy lives. We are part of the Pentecostal holiness, 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 holiness church. Revival cannot come unless we've got a hunger for holiness. We don't have to be holy for revival to come, but we've got a hunger after it, and then God will bring holiness. Amen. Sin makes us hard. When you lay cement down, you pour it and it's soft and it's pliable and it'll flow. It'll even run and flow. But the longer you wait, the harder it gets. After a while, you battle to draw a line in it, as children love to do, and leave their mark there forever. Because after they've drawn that little mark, it gets a little bit harder. And then rain comes and wets it, and it gets a bit harder and it kills. And you can never move that thing unless you come with a strong tool. And that's what sin does in our lives. The longer you let it lie, the longer you don't deal with it, it makes you hard. It makes you hard. It builds a crust around your heart. God is challenging us to plow up the fallow ground in our hearts this morning and let Him put a heart of flesh back there. He wants to come. The Word of God says, you know, when sin comes and takes hold in our life, it becomes a stronghold. God has given us His Word. He says, the weapons of your warfare are mighty in God to break down strongholds. We've got mighty tools. God wants us to use those tools this morning. Jeremiah 4 verse 3 to 4 says this: "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns." Hosea 10 verse 12: "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time," church, "it's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you." It's time to seek the Lord. We started praying this morning. It's what I feel over the next 2 weeks. We've got to fast and pray and seek the Lord's face. It's time to seek the Lord. Say with me, it's time. It's time. It's time for the reign of God to come in our lives. Charles Finney said this, an old revivalist preacher from, I think, the 1800s or early 1900s. "Fallow ground is ground which has once been tilled, but has gotten hard and now lays waste. It needs to be broken up and made soft again before it is ready to receive seed. If you mean to break up the fallow ground of your heart, you must begin by looking at your heart. Examine carefully the state of your mind and see where you are. Many people never even seem to think about doing this. They pay no attention to their own hearts and never know whether they are doing well in their walk with the Lord or not." Church, do you know whether you're doing well in your walk with the Lord or not? Whether they are bearing fruit or are totally barren. Now you must draw off your attention from all other things and look into this right now. Make a business of it. Do not be in a hurry. And then I want to remind you of Proverbs 4 verse 23. And it says this: "Above all, guard your heart, for from it flow the issues of life." Above all, guard your heart. This morning the Lord is challenging us. Sin doesn't have no dominion over us. We have the right weapons of warfare. Let us put on the armor of God. Let us pray and repent. Let us turn to the Lord and tear down the strongholds that sin has built. Let us break up the fallow ground. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and plant so that we can reap a new harvest. Fresh oil, new wine, new grain. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So, in conclusion this morning, God has spoken to us and challenged us to examine ourselves. He's given us a warning. He says, have a look what happened to those Israelites in the desert. Learn from the way they fell. You are just like them. You will fall to sin in exactly the same ways if you are not careful. It's easy to fall from grace. Sin will make your heart hard. We need to plow up the fallow ground. It's time to come back to the Lord and stop serving Him in a wishy-washy manner. Hosea 6 verse 1 to 2 says this: "Come, let us return to the Lord. For He is torn, but He will heal us. He is stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days He will revive us. On the third day He will raise us up." I want to tell you this, church. Sorry, I'll just carry on. "On the third day He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight." As I read that now, I was wondering about this 2 days and the 3 days. You know, scripturally, a day is like, is a year. And I was thinking about it. Today, in 2 weeks' time, we celebrate Pentecost. In 2 days, 2 weeks, He will raise us up. If we return to the Lord, if we plow our fallow ground up. And on the third day, He will pour out His Spirit. A new time of revival. I trust God that I'm speaking prophetically this morning. Do you want revival, church? Do you want revival, church? Let me ask you again, do you want revival? It's time we became serious. And Ezekiel 36. Wat op aarde is dit? I think it's somebody's glove that just rolled there. Ezekiel 36 verse 26 says this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Who wants that this morning? Can I see your hands this morning? Stand with me, church. Church, I don't know how the old revival preachers preached it. Because I never went to one of those. But I believe that the Lord has given us a message this morning that is a seed to plant so that we can reap a revival. Can I hear an amen? It's not always easy to hear the Lord saying, turn away from your sin. Turn away from your compromise. Turn away from your backsliding. Come on, be serious with me. The word came this morning. See, I stand at the door and I knock. Will you open up? Because as we open up, God's blessings and His favor and His grace comes in. But we need to open the door. And I know that I haven't spoken for nothing this morning. I know that God spoke to me. And I know that we will have a revival if we take this seriously. Time we stop messing around. Amen. Time we stop messing around. Josh. Christy, can I ask you guys to carry this away? So now, I want to challenge you churches. 10 to 11, I'm going to give you an opportunity. You can go if you want to. I won't hold it against you. But I want to ask you to remain. I want to ask you to come forward. And truly call on the Lord. Rend your heart before the Lord this morning. Deal with the fallow ground in your life. I will deal with the fallow ground in mine. I'm not going to come and pray for you. But I want you to come to the frontier and touch God's heart with a sincere heart of confession, repentance, and commitment. Make a fresh commitment. He said, I will give you new grain, new wine, and fresh oil. A promise of three things. If you want it. If you want it. So this morning I want to ask you to come forward. If you want that, come and deal with that which I've spoken about this morning.